Okay, what's the story with the story? Recently, I received an email asking me about the story. And at first, I thought this was a question about, you know, the overall story of God's plan and, you know, how do men become saved? You know, what's the general overview of the Bible, basically? But no, actually, this was a question about a book that has come out actually a few years ago called The Story. It's the work of Max Lucado, and there was someone else involved. I don't know. Max Lucado writes a lot of books. I'm not very familiar with him or his works. And I haven't read The Story, but I do understand what it is. And so I'm going to give a general assessment of that sort of thing. So what is it? Well, The Story basically takes the Bible and puts it in chronological order and condenses it down so that it reads more like a novel. And a lot of people have taken offense to the term novel being used as though the Bible was fiction. That doesn't bother me because I know the point is not that the Bible's fiction, but they want to make the Bible more accessible to people and make it more readable. Because I will say, for my own sake, that it is very true that reading the Bible from cover to cover is very difficult. I've never done that. I've always kind of jumped around. I've read the whole Bible from cover to cover, but never in straight order like that. Many a young Bible student trying to read the Bible cover to cover, I'm sure, has gotten bogged down somewhere in late Exodus, early Leviticus, or Numbers, or somewhere in Deuteronomy. There's quite a lot of law and sacrificial ordinances, which become very tedious, especially to a new student. So, aside from the designation of being novel-like, what's with this story? Well, taking parts out. For instance, I understand in this book they completely eliminate the book of James. That's a big problem, in my opinion, as far as if this is the Bible. Now, if it's not the Bible, meaning, you know, some people are thinking this is a replacement for the Bible, and it should definitely not be that. And I don't know that the authors intended to be a replacement. But, you know, if I do a topical study, for instance, I'm going to pick and choose scriptures. If anyone wants to teach a particular teaching, they pick and choose scriptures. And they don't necessarily include all the scriptures. You know, if I teach the Gospel of Matthew, I only teach the Gospel of Matthew. I may draw on the other Gospels, but I won't necessarily bring in everything from all the other Gospels when I teach it. And it happens not just by avoiding text. Sometimes people hit on text, and they don't really cover it. You know, they'll breeze over a verse that really needs comment, because maybe it really contradicts something they teach, but they just kind of blow it off. Very frustrating. I know that feeling as a former student, what it feels like to come across a verse you really want them to explain, and they just kind of disappoint you by not really saying much of anything about it, at least that satisfies. But anytime you do a biblical subject from a topical point of view, or for instance, the Jesus movies, whether it be The Passion of the Christ, The Greatest Story Ever Told, that recent Exodus movie, you know, all the biblical films throughout time, they all leave stuff out. And they all disappoint. I mean, I like the movie The Gospel of John, which is the Gospel of John word for word. I still dislike it, though, in certain aspects, because I don't like the way they portray Jesus at times. It seems like they were afraid for him to not smile 100% of the time. Which I think is just reading 20th century values back into the first century. Jesus would have had to have been smiling all the time. Because he was like a 20th century pastor or something. So I always find fault in all those things. But would I want them to not produce them? You know, would I want these things not to be available for our edification? I would say no. I bought a copy of The Passion of the Christ. I bought a copy of the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of John. The Matthew one was another one. I like John better. But again, these are not complete, you know, in themselves. So I see the story in the same vein. It's like a movie made based on the Bible. You know, do we see a lot of uproar against that? I don't know. You know, do people say like, oh, they shouldn't make another Jesus movie. I hate these. They're never accurate. This is no replacement for the Bible. Of course it's not. But what's it there for? To get people interested, perhaps. Or for a new student to get a basic overview when you know nothing about it. Sometimes it's helpful. When I was in college, and I first began to really want to study the Bible, I'd always been a believer in Jesus Christ, but I had an experience where I nearly overdosed on drugs, and I called out to God, and I didn't die, and I felt I owed it to the Lord to start studying the scriptures, and so I did. I asked my dad to send me my Bible. He sent me my King James Bible that I had had, and I really couldn't read it. And now I read from that freely, I teach from it. But out the gate, it can be very difficult. So what did I do? I called him, I said, hey, could you send me that, the book? There was this book that came out. I remember when I was a teenager, my dad says, hey, you like to read, Paul. There's a book out called The Book. Would you be interested in that? I was like, yeah, well, sure. He's like, oh, well, I'll get it for you when it comes out. And it was actually a new repackaged version of the Living Bible, called The Book, and it was just a different marketing angle on it. And so I had him send me that, and I was able to read that better. And of course, as anyone who studied the Bible for long knows, the Living Bible is not a very good translation. It's a paraphrase. But for someone just getting into it, it can help them get a general grasp, especially if they don't have a teacher. And I didn't have a teacher. So I was starting with basically very little information except what I knew. And, you know, the only thing I'd ever really read as a young person was Revelation and the Gospels. Remember the guy? And I had a children's Bible I used to read. What about children's Bibles? I mean, those are always condensed versions, right? I have a set that was given me that I love from a friend of children's Bible stories. And they're not 100% accurate to the scriptures, of course. They're condensed, retold versions of those stories. So that's on the positive side that, you know, it's very easy to jump on a bandwagon against things like that. And it's not entirely bad. But on the other hand, I do have another hand here. I am not a big fan of all this, honestly. I think that in Christianity today, we have way too much light stuff like this. We got the Living Bible. We've got the movies. We've got all these other light-handed, you know, lightweight tools for people to get their feet wet and kind of taste a little bit of Jesus, but not get too deep because it might be too much for them. It might scare them off. And so while I like the beginner tools, we got enough of this. We really have way too much beginner garbage. We need more depth of study and depth of understanding to bring people along in the faith that they could partake of the depths of Christ, not of just the surfaces, not of just the condensed version that Max Lucado wants people to get familiarized with. And you know, when someone condenses it, they're going to make choices. They're going to make choices of what to include and what not to include. It just like when I do a topical study, it's very possible I'm going to just include the stuff I want you to hear. Now, I always try, for conscience sake, to include stuff that is opposed to my view. Meaning, I don't just try to include everything to support my position. That's way too easy. I object to that intellectually. And I try not to do that. And as a student, you should never accept those results. Never accept when they just give you a breadcrumb trail to lead you to their conclusion. Well, they supported everything they said with scripture. Yeah, and they just led you to a conclusion by supporting it with all these scriptures. Every false doctrine has scriptures to support it. And if you just listen to the supporting scriptures, it's going to sound like they have a persuasive case. But you've got to also hear the scriptures that totally refute that position, that totally make that impossible. You have to listen to both sides of it. And so no deeper student should be relying on stuff like the story for their Christian education. You know, and I know in some churches they're actually implementing this sort of novel-like approach. And like I said, it goes into that whole seeker-sensitive, always trying to bring in more people who are superficial Christians and nominal Christians and not really interested in knowing God and Christ and living the Christian life and walking the walk. They just want to somehow be part of a religion and feel secure. And I don't know, honestly. I can't tell you what motivates a lot of people who are really not that into it. But I'll tell you what, they've got to be out there because the churches are designing all kinds of tools to try to rope them in and please them. They're most interested in pleasing them. That's why people who have a hunger and a thirst after the more deep things in the scriptures find themselves feeling left out at churches, find themselves feeling alienated among other believers, because everything caters to the small, to the insignificant, and to the beginner. You know, all that is important. We don't want to just drown people in a sea of, you know, deep doctrines and stuff. We want to bring them along gently to some degree. But on the other hand, you know, I don't want to tiptoe around the truth so much that the truth never gets told. You know, and that we sugarcoat God so much that he's acceptable to the wicked. And like I said, I'm not saying this specifically necessarily of the story, but of in general of projects like that. We have enough. We really have enough. You know, more watered down Christianity, more Bible translations on Bible translations with paraphrases and condensed versions because people don't want to study the real deal. You know, they don't have a zeal for God's word. So what do? We'll dumb the word down for them and give it to them in this form. And like I said, in a sense, like, look at when I do a topical study, am I dumbing it down and giving it to, well, I'm condensing it for you and putting it into a particular form. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we should not be relying on that. You know what I mean? When it becomes this sort of general practice in the church, the Sunday lectures at most churches is geared toward that lowest common denominator, towards people who don't know Christ, right? As if in a country where 80% of the people or so, right, already believe in Jesus, we need to find the new people. I'm more concerned with the people who already believe, who are not being fed properly, who are not being, you know, brought along in their Christian walk to the point where they are feeling fulfilled and satisfied and comforted in the love of Christ and obtaining all the promises that the New Testament, the wonderful promises that are there for the believer, beyond the merely my soul is saved aspect of salvation, going on to the walking in Christ's footsteps aspect of salvation. You know, there are great rewards for faith. In faith, we have so much in Christ. And, you know, knowing about it is one thing, but being instructed in it and marinating ourselves in it, so to speak, is another. And so things like the story, yeah, I don't think it's, you know, demonic or anything like that. But it's definitely more overkill in the wrong direction. You know, in general, Max Lucado, I know that most of the mainstream guys who write tons of books are not my cup of tea, right? You know, I looked on his website and on the website of his church, and the beliefs they put out there were pretty safe. You know, I mean, they stayed in the very safe zone. Of course, they have the traditional view of hell, which I oppose, but there it is. So I suppose his story will include the story of hell. So the story has a happy ending, just so we all remember that. Anyways, I would just say, you know, the effect it's going to have on each person is going to be based on the individual. And we all came from different backgrounds. I mean, when I grew up, I believed in things that I don't believe in anymore. You know, I read from books that taught things that I don't agree with anymore. I studied with teachers who taught me things that I believe are wrong now. And so I put my trust in God to lead all those who put their faith in him to the truth, as I hope I have been led. And I trust that he will be faithful to do that, because he has called us according to his grace and mercy. And therefore, no one can take us out of his hands. So I trust in the Lord's preservation and his grace and mercy towards us. But anyone who is studying the story, I would definitely encourage them to don't think they're getting the full story. right? You're not getting the full story with the story. You're just getting someone's condensed version. And it's going to be slanted according to exactly what their beliefs are. They leave out the book of James because, I don't know, I guess the Apostle James isn't very important.
Not only that, when you selectively use scriptures, you can actually change the story significantly from the story that is in the Bible. You are not just giving a condensed version of the story. You might be getting a corrupted version of the story. And that's not good. You know, specifically with this one, yeah, I almost want to go read it. And so it can irritate me? Because it probably will. And that's what making a condensed version does. But really, this is nothing new. This is what pastors do every weekend when they deliver a sermon. This is what every teacher does when he does a topical study. Unless they're being utterly faithful. And, we all try to be faithful. I have no doubt they try to be faithful. They think they're being faithful. For some reason, some of it's hid from their eyes. This isn't something for me to explain. But it is, it's out there. It's not the whole story. It may be a corrupt version of the story. But you won't know until you find out for yourself. So that needs to be a priority. It can be good to listen to more than one teacher, right? Compare, contrast, check out in the scriptures. But don't just compare and contrast to sort of, treat it like a cafeteria and take what you like and leave what you don't. That's how a lot of people treat it. But to find out what is good, what is true, what is really the story.